Army. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. I need you. Brother Jay, you know, some of these little songs, you know, they trip me up, but you know, I love this body because, amen, you know, everybody in here's got my back. Right. We're all a part of God's body. Amen. You know, where one's down, the others come in to pick them right back up, you know, right. And that's how we do it in here. You know, right. We have, amen, each other's back. Helpers. You know, we have this word. This word is what keeps us together, binds, yep, us together. God bless you, brother.
Blessed are the last, for they should be first.
You may be seated.
About a month ago, I thought I'd get away with this, so I had it, something hit me, and it hit me hard, so I texted a couple of the brothers and thought, you know, I won't have to testify now. But it's not manifesting in my life, so I wanted to let it out on everyone. When you go to pray, are you creating another persona when you pray, or are you bringing all of yourself? Oh. I asked myself that question, and I had to admit, I create this artificial Christian person when I go praying. God didn't save an artificial, sanitized Christian person. He saved me. He made me and all of me. When we pray, he wants us to bring our fears, our angers, our doubts, our joys, all of it. Because he wants to, that's how you sheriff your spouse. That's how he wants to sheriff us.
That's right.
So if anyone else has that problem, we can stop now and do it. And amen. If you need an example, look through all of Psalms. David didn't hold anything back.
That's right.
You know, and he says some things to God that would get you kicked out of a lot of churches if you were in a pastoral position. You know, like, I have doubts. That's right. But, you know, it's okay to have doubts. Right. Just put them where they're supposed to be.
Amen. Amen. God bless, amen, you, brother.
I'm so grateful to be here one more time. You know, I come to church because I feel indebted to God.
Yeah.
You know, he's took me in that little room and showed me who he is. You know, he's told me that I belong to him. And I can't just throw that away by staying home and playing hooky or whatever. I can't grow that way. And, you know, he's changed so many things in my life. You know, and, you know, this year started out, I've been through some things this year, but he's got me through it all.
Right.
He's opened a door for me to go through it all.
That's right.
You know, and I'm still going through it, but he's going to open another door. And I'm going to have a way to escape.
Amen.
You know, I'm so grateful to him.
Right.
You know, I just, you know, about praying, you know, I just pray from my heart. You know, I just try to be as real with God as I would be with you.
Right.
That's the only way I know to pray.
Sure.
You know, just tell, because he knows me anyway. You can't lie to him. You might as well tell him your secrets. You might as well tell him what you're thinking, because he already knows it before you open your big mouth.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So, you know, I've been thinking a lot about God's grace and how good he's been to me. And I don't want
to
throw his grace away.
No.
I don't want to spurn it.
No.
You know, he pulled me out of the false vine and put me under the true vine.
Right.
And I'm so grateful for that. You know, and I just want to make it to church every chance I got. I just want to grow more and more, and I want to obey the preachers. And
Amen.
You know, I love the body. I have to love you because you're God.
Amen.
And what I really love is that we all agree in one accord.
Amen.
There's no bickering or fighting. I used to hate the denomination churches because of that.
Yeah.
You know, they had cliques and the big I and the little U. And
right.
I'm so happy to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about something this morning, you know, as far as faith, you know, is what we do. Faith has legs under it, you know.
Yeah.
Faith's got hair on its chest. You know. And faith, you can see your faith if it's real. If it's real. And I was thinking about God's grace. You know, we have faith in God. God has grace towards us.
Right.
His grace gives.
Oh, yes.
His grace works.
Yes.
You don't just back here, okay, you got grace. Right. No, it produces. It produces your whole life, you know. And I was thinking how that worked back and forth together. You know, we expect God's grace to work for us.
Right.
You know, well, he expects our faith to work for him.
Right.
You know, so just a little nugget there.
Right.
Amen. God bless you, bro.
Uh-huh.
I had a math teacher that had a saying that some of the easier problems that he would show us, it'd be like throwing a fish to a seal or something. Just, you know, working at a real easy problem. And what happened today was something along those lines where Sister Crystal and I went to get our vaccinations. And we were scheduled for 6:15 or so. And we got there, we registered and everything, and we waited. And then the receptionist up front said, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Turned out there was a reason for it. We had to meet three people. Mm-hmm. And see, and I was thinking about that fish. It, you know, get thrown out there. Brother Moore said, get up here and testify. And I'm like, what am I going to say? And then that event happened. I'm like, oh, okay, God, I see how you work. So I just want to go get up here and say, thank you, Lord. You know, I didn't understand what was going on with us having to wait because we, you know, we were there promptly and we figured we'd had enough time to get our shots and then, you know, get to church. And, but we had to wait and we didn't get out of there until close to 6:45. It's still plenty of time. But, you look back on it and say, oh, okay, God, I see why you had this way.
That's right.
We had to meet three of the nicest people that made my day.
Amen.
Really, and that's how God works. And you'll see them. But it's just the fact that, you know, how God uses you and how things unfold in your life.
Yes.
And, you know, you may not realize what you're going through at the time.
Right.
But then afterwards, when you look back on it, it's like, okay, God, I see how you're doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and I just see that. You know, my walk, that's the way it is. You know, we go through things, and we, you know, once we're done with that trial, we look back and say, thank you, Lord, you got me through it.
Right.
And I just am so grateful that God has just thought enough of me that he would put me in his bride. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking here on a Wednesday. Go ahead. You're the song. You're the policeman. Good to be here on a Wednesday. You know, but what I love about church is that it's not something that I want, something that I need. You know, it makes all the difference in the world. And I've been thinking all week about what Brother Moore preached on Sunday, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures if that's all right.
Amen.
You. I was listening to a message Brother Bram preached, and he was preaching this, and I was listening. I thought, huh? What do you say? So I went back and pulled my Bible up, read. I thought, huh, that's pretty interesting. So a couple little things. He was talking about Abraham over in Genesis. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking about, you know, now Abraham, we know the story of Abraham. God told him he'd have a son. And, of course, Sarah doubted it and all this stuff. Took 25 years. And then Sarah came along and said, Abraham, it's not me, it's Hagar. Mm-hmm. So Abraham went over here and had a baby, Ishmael, the wild one with Hagar, and turned around on and on and on. But he finally had Isaac. And, boy, he loved Isaac because he knew that was the son that God gave him. God promised him that son. So I was reading this. So that's what got me thinking when I was hearing the scripture. I said, let me go back and read that one more time, make sure I'm reading it right.
Yeah.
So hopefully you'll get something out of it. If you don't, I'll get something out of it if I read it again. But I really enjoyed it. So this is Genesis 22, starting with verse 1, and I'll go down through just a few little scriptures here.
Yes.
And it starts off verse 1. It's what really got my attention the first time around. Because in this hour, you know, Don and I was talking about outside, the difference between us and the ages is they didn't know. Right. They were fulfilling the word of God, Brother Moore, but they didn't even know they were fulfilling the word of God. They were just going through the motions. They were living the life. They were manifesting what God said they would do, but they didn't know it. But in this hour, we know.
Amen.
There's no guesswork in this. You're not just kind of, you know, fumbling through the night here. No, I know.
Yeah.
It's full light. I see all the way around me. I see the ages. It's clear to me. I see the things that are being, that's clear to me.
Right.
I know there'll be a rapture, but you know, I'm speaking as if it's already happened.
Right.
That's
right.
How we talk in this hour. We don't talk with doubt. We don't talk with, you know, not
Amen.
Sure about this, that, and the other. I know what I know.
Yeah.
The Bible says, and we know, right? So this is Abraham. He said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And I thought, what? Wait a minute. God tempted Abraham? So he enticed him.
Right, right.
He said, I'm going to put him to the test. Yeah. You know what you've been through. You know what I promised you, but you also know what you've been through, Abraham.
Right.
He said, I'm going to tempt him.
Yeah.
Now, God already knows what's going to happen, but he tempted Abraham's seed.
Yeah. Right.
See, Abraham's father of faith.
So,
and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Maybe a lot of things in this world I love, but you got to love you got to love the Word of God even greater than your natural love here, Brother Moore.
That's right.
I don't care what it is you come across. I don't care if it's your wife, husband, kids, whatever it is. My love for the Word of God, my love for God is much greater than any of these natural. These natural things come and go.
That's right.
I'm living proof. I came here 32 years ago, got married, married for almost 20 years. Wife walked away, kids walked away. On and on and on, but I'm still here.
Yeah.
Because this is more important than everything out there.
Right. Amen.
Right. Slow down here. So, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up late in the day.
Nope.
Next week,
nope.
3 days later. And Abraham rose up early in the morning.
That's right.
Well, think about that. God did all this, Brother Moore. He's got this lad he's built a nice relationship with. He's had a lot of love. He's looking at this promised son every day of his life, saying, that's the one God told me he was going to give me. God tells me to go burn him. Now, and Abraham didn't waste any time at all. He's trying to make a point here.
Right.
He's not just sitting back slothful about it. God told him to do it.
Amen.
He couldn't wait to get up.
Right.
Matter of fact, he's probably sitting there half the night, not even sleeping, just saying, all right, come on, son, get moving. We got things to do here. So he says he woke up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. So he was serious.
Oh, yeah.
He took the wood with him. He wasn't playing around, Brother Moore. He said, I'll take the wood with me. I'm not even going to try to cut down a tree when I get there. I'm going to take it with me.
Right.
Oh, my. And rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And this is the other place I was getting to. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship, and what do you say? And come again unto you. Now, God told him he was going to sacrifice his son.
Yeah.
He had no idea what that meant, Brother Moore. He had no clue what God was going to do. All he knows, God said, you take your son, go take him up and sacrifice him. And he said, and so Abraham got up early as he could. Yeah. Let's get it on the road. Let's go, God. Yeah. Now, you promised him to me. I don't care. You either got to do one or two. You got to heal him or kill him. Something's going to happen because he's the one you promised me.
Yeah.
And I'll do exactly what you told me to do. Even if you have to raise him from the dead, I'm going to do my part.
Amen.
And he told those two men, he said, we're going to go up there, Isaac and I are, and we're going to pray, and we're going to work. And both of us, not one, he didn't even give you any doubt whatsoever. He said, both of us will come back here again. Not even knowing the whole picture at that point in time. But he knew, he had faith, that God will have to make it somehow, some way. If I kill him, Lord, you've got to raise this man up for the dead. You got to speak another one out of the dust. You got to do something because I know what you told me. And of course, we know the rest of the story. God got to the point. He's out. Abraham was serious. But he's just a type.
Amen.
Of what we are today, Brother Moore. You've got to be serious when it comes to this.
That's right.
When God tells you to move, you go, he's so serious that you're willing to give it all, give your life,
and
knowing. Now, somehow, God, you got to fix this. I don't care what it is.
That's right.
You've got to make it all work out for my good.
Be that real.
You said you would do it. I simply got faith in your word, and don't wait around on him. No. Move when he says move. If Abraham could get up early, an Old Testament saint, a patriarch, Bible said, he said he was a friend of God.
Yeah.
And the great love hath no man that he laid down his life for a friend.
The
Old Testament.
Right.
But here we sit, the point I'm trying to make, here we sit with a full understanding, full light on the scene, forward, no excuses. Brother Bram said it'd be a sin to disbelieve now.
Amen.
Oh, my. That's what I'm talking about. This thing's that real to us.
Yes, that's right.
And we see it that clearly. And I love it. We're not slothful. Amen. You shouldn't be slothful on God. God says do it, do it. You know, telling Brother Moore today, you know, God said he'll never put on you more what you can bear. So if God says do it, he already knows you can do it.
That's right.
He's just tempting you. Are you going to do it? Sometimes God's going to put you to the test. He's going to tempt you. I want you to do this, this, and this.
All right.
And it may be ugly, but you know what? It's all right.
Come on.
God, you've got to figure it all out. I don't have to even worry about it. I'm simply going to take your word and fulfill it, and you'll make it work because all things work together for our God. Those that are chosen according to his purpose.
Yes.
The one that made the promise.
Amen.
The one that told you he'd see you through. The one that said he'd never put on you more than you can bear.
Right.
The one that gave you the word. The one that came into you.
Come on.
The one that's manifest after you. The one that speaks through you. The one that's bringing on a rapture. He said he would do all these
that's
things.
That's right. That's right.
Me? Bye, Lord. Yes, Lord. In him is yea and amen. That's all you should have. When God speaks, yea and amen.
That's it.
I love this.
Yeah, I was thinking about while he's talking there. Let me chime in just a minute here. You know, this the Son of Man, when the Son of Man's on the scene, it's different than
that's
the
right.
Agers.
Yes.
The Son of Man. That's Jesus never guessed. Jesus never hoped so, maybe
no.
so.
No.
knew. Time he's 12 years old, he's told his mother, he said, I must be about my father's
business.
He knew what his purpose was. He knew who he was there. Down through the ages, it made it, well, I hope I make it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll make
hope
it.
So.
I've lived good, you know, and didn't even know that little bit of revelation they had was what's going to put them over.
Carry them over.
They didn't even know that. We look back and see that. But this is another day of the Son of Man.
Right.
Yes.
This is a no-so day.
Yes.
There's no excuses. There's no guessing.
Not waking
up here. No. We know exactly what God's going to do.
Right.
What our purpose is.
Right.
And how we're going to fulfill
see the whole picture.
Amen. It's a no-so day. Amen.
Oh, my. Let me get these announcements out of the way here. So we've got, let's see, the crochet classes, third Sunday of each month, 6 p.m., and special services on Saturday, October 14th at 7 p.m., and October 15th at 10 a.m.
And you will be preaching on Wednesday the 11th.
Ooh, and Wednesday the 11th at 7:30.
Amen.
Oh, triple portion, look at that. And then followed by a dinner. And then we will be having Bible study that night.
Amen.
I'm assuming that he'll be up that night too. Whatever God wants.
Don't talk too fast. Yay and amen.
Yay and amen.
That's right.
He said, "Agree with me," like he said in the song. You know, I just love this place.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And I love that. You know, the brother Bond got up and started talking about prayer. You know.
Yeah.
Prayer really works.
Right.
Yes.
But like you said, you got to be serious about it.
Right.
Amen.
Pour your heart out. Because our lives are on the line here. This is the last day. The final voice to the final age. You know, me and Brother John, we're sitting in my kitchen. And, you know, talking about prayer. You know,
that you don't know if you might be harboring something. Sometimes you could be sitting on something unresolved and not even really be paying too much attention to it, where it's out of sight, out of mind. God don't want that. You stand in his way and tie his hands when you can't put yourself out there, when you can't confess one to another, like the word says. And so me and John were sitting there talking, and you know, some things came out, some things that was unresolved, and we didn't really talk about it. Because you know when you talk about some things that are a little bit sensitive, you know, and you kind of don't want to bring it up because it kind of flares your spirit realm up, you know. Well, it kind of got a little bit like that, but then we came to an understanding. You see, this is how important the word is, because we always came back to the word. And then we sat there and we prayed earnestly. We were real with God. Lord, we cannot do a thing without you. You got to move. Take this whole thing and you do it.
Sure.
You work it. And whatever comes from it, Lord, will give you the glory.
Absolutely.
This is where we give him the glory.
Right.
Out there, we overcome. In here, you overcome by the words of your testimony.
Yes.
And prayer is everything. Prayer works. And, you know, and he moved all afternoon. And it felt like there was just a, you know, monkey off my back, you know. And as a spirit, you know.
Sure.
And there was just peace, nothing but peace. And things started beginning to fall in place. And I just love him. So I want to sing, because we're here to worship. And, you know, the only job we got is to praise him.
Right.
So I want to sing 138. We come into his house. Oh, sorry. My bad. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sis. Still time.
Yeah, I still wanted to have time. I just want to say I'm thankful to be here. Today's my wedding anniversary. Amen. And so I want to give flowers to my husband, who over the years has been a very big support in bringing the word. And as I've learned submission, and I've learned from listening to everybody, the ministry, you brothers and sisters explained to me about headship, it's so much easier to fall in line when I, you know, because it was mentioned about the spirit of rebellion. And so when that thing comes up, yeah, your headship is there to tell you,
amen,
stop it.
Yeah.
No more.
Yes.
And no matter where it comes from, wherever the marching orders come from, you know, when it's your head, you got to fall in line.
Right.
And that's been a bigger rest than I ever knew it could be. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey to see how far God has brought me, how far God has brought our marriage, our family.
Yes.
You know, when I came to God about a situation, he's like, well, you know, it might be 30 days. And I'm like, oh, Lord, be it 30 days. All right. But I want this thing resolved. Well, the thing was resolved on Monday night. So now I get to go and put all the pieces back together and, you know, start fixing things up the way they ought to be. Because God gave me that rest of resolving the things.
Amen.
And, you know, all sorts of things happen, you know, because today's Wednesday. And I realized that, you know, although God does so much through me,
yes,
I still have to learn to pace myself,
yes,
so that I don't get stressed out.
Amen.
So that I'm not stressing other people out because I'm stressing. And it's not that I don't. Maybe it is that I don't remember that God's got this, and maybe it's that I put more pressure on myself to try to make all these things move faster than what they should. But no matter what, I still need to take care of me because I have people that depend on me.
That's right.
You know, and it's not just my family. There's people in the world I have to meet.
Yeah.
You know, and there's things that I have to do. And, you know, one of the things, you know, I see so many people get up, and I've listened to so many things. And it gets me because when God talks to me, I don't always feel anything. It's like, well, God said, and then, okay, well, I'm going to switch around and just do this. And it's like I kept kicking myself because I wouldn't feel. I wouldn't necessarily cry. And then sometimes when I'd cry, people would be like, don't be crying. And I'm like, well, it's not sadness. It's joy.
Yeah.
And I'm just really grateful. And the one song I wanted to try to sing, because the way Brother Jay and Sister Courtney have sang this, I know I'm not going to be anything like them, but it's the one where God holds your hand. I don't know if there's like words somewhere, but it's, if you guys want to help me out. Yes, that one. Yes.
Amen. Sister Jen.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
God bless you.
Well, my husband came home from work, and he said that his coworker needed prayer, so I can't leave here without asking for prayer for him.
Amen.
He said he had 48 hours before he had a liver problem also. He needed a liver, so it's that serious. It should be that serious.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank everybody here for seeing spirits and having my back. I realized everything.
That's awesome.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here.
Yes.
And I need to stay here longer, not just say a few words. And been too good to me to do that.
Oh, my.
Yes.
I've been here. I know so much.
Amen.
And it's all because of being here to get me through this world. It's just
Amen.
And I do have headship.
Amen.
Yes. And I'm grateful for that.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
I have people, they help me along the way.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm not alone in this at all. So.
Amen.
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 God bless you, Sister Jane.
That's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Go ahead, sis.
Amen.
Amen. When Brother Lockett says, go ahead, you go ahead. I am thankful, Body, for another year.
Yes.
Me and my twin birthday girl back there. And I'm thankful for that, but I'm thankful for so many things. God has given me a revelation of this word. And he saw me finish this
right.
out.
Come on. Right.
Whether Amen. I think I can do it or not, he said he chose me.
Right. Amen.
And I'm very happy about that. And
Amen.
I need to ask for one of the prayer cloths that I requested. The brother's not doing good. They called in hospice this week. And I'm trying to just talk to his wife, just talk her through, because, like you said, they know who to call.
Right.
Exactly right.
Exactly
and what
right.
she what she told me today is her husband doesn't want to see me when I go to Maryland. But she said he will see you, and I'm asking that you pray in the room out loud so he can hear you.
Amen.
And I'm like, oh, my God. All right, this. So I need you all to just kind of pray with me that I can just kind of give them a message from the heart.
Yes.
It's for me, but it's from the body.
Yes.
And for her to ask me to do that, it was just so humbling because she is seeing something in me.
Right.
And Brother Jim, the reason that I asked about is this where the party is? Everyone's calling today with birthday wishes, and those that knew me then was like, where's the party at? And so what I really wanted to tell them is church.
Yeah.
I said, you can go there, you can get saved, you can get drunk off the word,
yeah.
you can testify, you can sing, and
Amen.
You can shout. But they weren't ready for that. So I just simply said, I'm going to church tonight like I do on Wednesday. Because where else would I want to be to thank God for another year? Amen.
God bless you. Brother Lockett, you'll be the last one.
Well, we Amen, brother.
Thank the Lord for being here tonight.
Yes.
You know that God is good.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my.
Look sure like is. Prayers in the air tonight.
Yeah.
But you know, prayer is good, but if you don't believe it,
come on.
Right.
You that's might as right. well just go on to bed and go to sleep.
Amen. Yeah.
It's do no good except you believe
that's right.
That's right.
That he's going to do what you asked him.
Amen.
Come on now.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm thankful. You know, I can read the Bible a little bit, and I believe what I read.
Amen. Yes.
And I believe what is preached.
Yes. Yes. Right.
I try to make it my business to believe.
Yeah.
If I know without the belief with the prayer.
Right.
No Amen. Good.
Right.
That's right.
Faith without work is dead.
That's right.
Amen. So
Amen.
We appreciate it. We
Amen.
Thank God for
Amen,
all you.
Right.
You know, we have the best body.
Yes.
And we care for one another.
Yes.
And just like your brother said, no little you and big I around
right.
here. Everybody's the same.
Yes.
Same even part. Pastor Moore.
Amen.
So Amen. We thank God.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Lockett. You know, let's sing 224, It Is Well With My Soul.
Yes,
and then we'll get him up.
Hallelujah.
Good to be here this evening.
Yes, it is.
When peace like a river
when peace like a river attended my way when sorrows like sea control that
may be seated. It's good to be here this evening. Good to see everybody. No place I'd rather be, as we always say, but we do mean it. I need this, as Brother Jim said. And you know, I was listening to testimonies and thinking some this week, and you can have a victorious life. And I'll even word that different. Really, we do have a victorious life. You know, but I say you can because sometimes we'll let the devil try to convince us out of that. But, you know, really, we have everything we need to defeat the devil. You know, God has been ahead of the devil every single time. By his foreknowledge, he knew what the devil would do before the devil did it. The devil has not tricked God. He hasn't come up on God and surprise God. God has an answer for everything the devil will throw at you. Amen. And you know, the thing that it starts with really is just your new birth. You know, because I was even thinking just hearing the testimonies, like, you want to know how really headship's going to work your life? Get a new birth. Because that's what will tie you to the Word. Right. That'll make your nature, Brother Moore, be one with the Word. And the real headship, anyhow, is the Word of God. Yes. Now, we know that at home the husband's the head and the husband will ask some things, but sometimes that stuff's just junk anyhow. Amen. The real headship is the Word of God. Yes. That's what really runs the home. That's what runs your individual life. That's right. You want to be able to get along with headship, just get born again. Amen. You get born again, you know what you'll say to the Word of God? Yes. Amen. Yes. The Word says this, amen. The Word says this, amen. That's the easiest way. It's just by nature that I yield to the Word. It's by nature I agree with the Word. It's by nature that I want to give to it. It's by nature I want to think about it. It is by nature, I like how Brother Lockett said, I make it my business to believe this Word. I ain't playing church. I've been born again. I really love God. This ain't playtime. This ain't something I have to do. This is something I want to do. This is something I need. It's just who I am. Just thinking about it. This ain't even my message, but you can have a victorious life. You have every answer you need. Now, you say in Jeremiah, you're saying you're never going to have problems. That's not what I just told you. But you can overcome all those problems. You're never going to have trials. No, you're going to have trials, but you'll overcome every one of those trials. You will get in the molly grubs every once in a while. You will get down every once in a while. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the Word of God has every answer you need to get you through. Oh, I'm sick. Well, guess what? God can heal. Oh, I need a job. He can create one. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. He'll make a way. I don't know if I'm going to live or die. Guess what? To live is Christ. To die is gain. Whatever God wants, that's what I want. I don't have to give to the devil and be down to the devil no matter what he brings my way. I ain't worried. If I die tomorrow, guess where I'm at? I'm in a new body. If he puts the worst disease on me, guess where I'm going? And God decides not to heal me on this side, I got a new body where there will be no disease. I can't lose. Oh, that gets me excited. You can't overcome your problems. Now, that's not me telling you that we're not going to have issues and flesh issues. I'm just telling you there's nothing the devil can't put on you that God's not greater than. You do not have to accept the devil's lie that this one's too big. There's not a problem too big for God. There's not a situation he can't handle. He's got the whole world in his hands. I had a quote I was reading this week, and I might use it tonight. I'm not going to promise it. But before the main section, Brother Branham was talking about the moon. How it was God's servant. This is how great God is. That the moon keeps the ocean back. If it didn't find its place and do its job, there's areas of this planet that would be flooded. He said, but it knows exactly what it needs to do, and it goes exactly to its place. God's got that thing orbiting perfectly, and it just is and does what it needs to do. That's how great God is. He got the moon taking care of the whole entire world. He knows how many times a gnat will bat its eyes. He knows how many times a sparrow will need to eat. How much more? Will he take care of one of these? Yes. Oh, I thank God for that revelation. Amen. You want to talk about the works of God? I take that serious.
Yes.
But I know who I am.
Right.
I'm one of the ones that's going to do the works.
Right.
I've been doing the works. Because I've been born again. I love God. It's in me to manifest what I believe. We say something that half of what we learn sometimes is common sense. You know, it makes sense to me if there's something you believe in, you're going to do something for it. That is common sense to me. You know, with the story of Abraham, he trusted God. His action showed it. Well, come on, Isaac. We got to go up. That was action. That's how simple works is. God tells you something, and you just start moving around it. You know, works is manifested in many different ways. I'll just say it that way. Because, you know, we'll have our list of what we think works is, but, you know, really works is summarized at just doing what God asks you to do. And the reason why I say works manifest way, because sometimes we have this list of what works is, but it's just as simple as Abraham saying, come on, Isaac. He started manifesting what God, his faith, and God was. God told me I was going to have this son. And the same God that told me I was going to have this son and gave me the son is now telling me to take him up here and sacrifice. He believed God. He trusted God. He had faith in God. And his actions showed he did. I like that. You know, faith is what justifies you. Because you get born again by revelation. But you want to see some proof that you really have that faith? You'll move on it. You'll move by it. You'll start putting it in action. You can say all you want, I love church. And this is the greatest place I've ever been. This is the greatest word I've ever heard. But if you never show up here to hear it, I don't know if I trust that testimony. Because there's no manifestation showing what you just said is true. When you believe in something and you really love something, Brother Moore, it'll show up. You'll give to it. I got to slow down like Jim said. Not really. We just let God have his way. But I'm thankful to be here tonight. God is good to us. He's given us so many blessings. And I really do have a scripture I intend to get to. Matthew, the 20th chapter. But I want to read something first. And this might seem a little strange to you. But in my studies that I was studying for the scripture, this is not a quote really for it, but I found this, I stumbled upon it. And I thought you guys would enjoy it. Because I enjoyed it. And, I've grown up in this church, heard Brother Childers preach for the years, heard Brother Moore preach over the years, heard Brother Deskins testify, Brother John, Brother Loggett, Brother Ted, and all of you. And we have never changed what we believe. You know, I'm going to read something here. We believe in a good home. And this ain't, and I want to preface a few things because, you know, what Brother Bram's getting ready to say here, you know, none of us may have it all right. This is, I'm not putting the evidence of the Holy Ghost. These are just some good, this was just good. I think you might enjoy this because it ties in with what some of our elders told us here lately. Now, Brother Bram says now, he's talking about the end time. The Lord predicted, now this is a little bit of reading, but just bear with me. Such a time to come that there would be unrest among the nations, perplexed the time, distress between the nations. And we have tried everything that's seemingly humanly possible to make it last just a little longer. But I believe that we're just running out. Now listen, ouch. I don't believe there's anything else that we can do about it. We're just at the end of it. We tried for a while of having kings. That wouldn't work. Then they tried democracy. It doesn't work. They tried dictators. It doesn't work. And each one seems to just get us a little bit shallower each time. Now, we stand at the great moment when anything could happen. It could be over in 5 minutes' time that every nation would be laid to powder. And if we're at that time, where ought the church to be? He says a great crisis. Then also we have a home life crisis. It seems like the home life is running out into shallow water. It used to be in a home that a father, the head of the house, would sit down in the morning and he would speak with his family, and they would all take out the old family Bible and just read a bit and all gather around the table and have prayer. You don't see that no more. And when the day was done and mom had washed the dishes washed, they'd all gather in and read some more of the Bible and pray before going to bed. Like I told you, we may not all live up to every bit of this, but this is just good stuff here. He said, juvenile delinquency certainly was a hard thing to find in them days. The boys all went to the fields and worked, and the girls helped mom with their washing down at the creek. But today we push a little button on the, push a little button, and the dishes are all done. Help me, Lord. And mom is in the car and gone to the card party or out riding around the streets. And the work is done by a tractor, and we just don't have nothing but a bunch of lazy, idle people. This is the prophet in 1961, just so you know. And you guys know how bad it is now. I'm not up here professing I do all this perfect, but this just, I just thought, wow. It's truth anyhow. And home life is so neglected till the Bible is laid back till they have to hunt for an hour to find one in many homes in America. They go to church on Sunday morning for their religion for about 20 minutes. And the pastor takes about 30 minutes. He's called on by the board. What is it? Home life is running out. It used to be that the father and mother loved and honored and cherished one another. And when she was old and gray and wrinkled up and her poor old face was all drawn up and her glasses hanging down over her nose, dad loved her just as well as when he did when she was young and pretty. But today, and I don't mean to be critical, but when she gets old, we just swap her out for a new model. It seems to be that way, like swapping cars or something. It seems like that the real family love don't exist much more. Just something has happened. Home life is running out. We don't have the old American home as we used to have it long years ago. There's another thing I'd like to say. There's another thing running out. Friendship is running out. It don't seem like we have friends like we used to. And friends that we have are not loyal friends like they used to be. It used to be, I can remember when someone got sick in the neighborhood, that everybody come around and they helped them all with all their work and lent a hand to anything could be done. Set up with them all night at time. And I've often said as truth, we hardly know the neighbor is dead until we see it in the paper. Friendship. Now this one, I thought, you know, this is Brother Bram's time, because listen to this. Papa has a key to the house and Mama has a key. See, that was awkward to him. Because in his time, he took his wife everywhere and drove her everywhere. And there was only one key. Now think about that. That's just so you know. And you know, you have to adjust the times and we have multiple workers, but I'm just telling you. This togetherness is what he's preaching. Dad had a key to the house, mine has a key to the house, and they're both out gone half the night, and the children, they don't know where they are. And the little ones are with the babysitter, and that's the way life has lived. Do you know the Bible predicts all these things? So what is it then? Is that where we're standing, a position to watch things run out? Let's take church life. That's where it all began. Church life is running out. People just take the church today almost for an idol, like a totem pole. Go sit in church 5 minutes, and I've done my religion. Pay your little contribution, whatever it is. Pay it to the pastor. That they don't make that up. They have a little supper and they make it up to the pastor. And he ain't satisfied until he hauls us somewhere and gets a better wage. Seems like the pastor's not divinely called anymore. Just seems like it's beginning to be a meal ticket to the pastor. That's the people. Wherever it offers the most money, there it goes. And it shouldn't be that way. So that's not my message. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought that was good reading. Because as I was studying this week, you'll see later in a minute, the word idol was in there, and you're getting ready to see where I got that. But I saw that, and I thought, my Lord, you know, we've heard our elders tell us, our brother Brandon's preacher, brother Moore's preacher, brother Childers preached, the elders talked about it. It's important to have home. Amen. It's important to be around that dinner table. Right. It's important to be together. Amen. It's important to help one another. Amen. It's important to have good friends. It's important to put God first. Amen. So with that said, Matthew 20. Brother Moore can handle all that. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. Now listen to this. And about the 11th hour, He went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? He didn't like that they weren't working. That's the point. He's like, why are you just not doing anything? Need to do something. Don't take works out of it, in other words. They said to him, because no man hath hired us, he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny, even the 11th hour worker. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these at last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of heat and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Is not thou agreed with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with my own. Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many called, but few are chosen. May God add to the blessing of the reading of his word. My title tonight is Do Your Job. That's pretty simple. But I thought this interesting, and obviously as you read it, you know what Brother Moore preached on Sunday. You can see how it ties. But here we are, the 11th hour worker, and for those that don't know what that represents, I mean, it was pretty clear in here. That man, that parable there, was saying, I'm paying 11th hour worker the same thing I paid the person that worked from the first hour on. Right. And you know, Brother Branham said, we're 11th hour workers when it comes to that church up there. Amen. We're the last age. We are the 11th hour. But here's what I found interesting, and I'm going to say a few things. But he didn't tell 11th hour worker not to work. He told the 11th hour to work just like he told the first hour group. And so God has never taken the works out of the story. Now we understand where to put all these things and place all these things. We know what the real evidence is. I'm going to move on from that quickly because we've preached that for so many years. Yeah. We don't even need to talk about that. Right. But God has never taken away the work. Yeah. Even in this parable here, Jesus, the man said, why are you standing here idle? Yeah. There are things to be done. Now, I'm going to talk about this from different angles, but I always remember, it will always stick with me. Brother Schiller said, when I first came to the message, he said, I would see that the church ages are built. We've come through the threes. We've come through the sevens. I'm paraphrasing. We've come through the steps. All seven's done. I almost wondered, what am I supposed to be doing? Is there even any job for me to do? And he said, God, clarify that for him real quick. You're the capstone people. You're the eighth-day people. You're the headship to the body. You have a job to do just like everybody else had a job to do. You know, and you know, we understand law and grace and how you get to heaven, but we have a job to do. I want to start right there. In this day and hour, we have a real job to do. They without us cannot be made perfect. And I was thinking about this, and every age, whether we talk to seven church ages or we go back to Abraham or Moses, the people and the believers of that day and hour recognized their day and their message and believed it. And because they believed it and had faith in it, they went and started putting into action the faith they had in that message. Brother Moore clearly believes, and I do too, that there's really only one thing left on our plate, and that is the rapture. And I believe it whether he showed it to me or not, but let us just talk about it for a minute. What does Brother Moore preach about the most? What does he try to emphasize the most? What does he talk about the most? Believe it or not, that's him putting into action his faith that he understands we're at the end time, and it's time to rapture out of here. Now, we're going to talk about it in many different ways, but that's our job, people. And if you really believe it, you're not sitting here saying, I got to get the church built. I got to get everybody cleaned up. I got to build a body. No, you recognize that work is over.
Amen.
You recognize this is the end time. This is the eighth day. This is rapturing faith time. Yes. This is when the seven thunders had showed up. And all my work is right around that.
Amen.
I'm not trying to do sanctification again, Brother Destin. You get my point? But that's how faith works. It'll show up if you really believe it's the end time.
Right.
It shows up in some ways. You know, I recycle. I care about the environment a little bit. I do my part. I love the earth. But I'm here to tell you, I don't think I'm going to save it. That ain't what I'm trying to do. I know I can't save it. I'm just doing a little part because it's the right thing I think as a human being to do. The earth is the Lord, and He'll destroy those that destroy it. That's what the Bible says. But the thing is I also know it's the end time. I believe what Brother Branham just said. He said, we tried everything and there's nothing else left to try to save it.
Right.
Time has just run out.
Yeah.
And I behave like that. You realize how we behave in this age, which is different than any other age?
Yeah.
We talk about foolish virgins. Now, they came by revelation, but it's by faith.
Right.
We talk with an understanding about foolish virgins like nobody ever has.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We don't try to, well, we got to get you to church.
No.
Our loved ones, we got to drag you to church. We recognize by faith that, wait a minute, whether they get in here or not, they're going, they're mine. And we behave like that. We put in the action, that faith. I don't go beg my family members that don't go to church. You got to get to church. That time is running out. No, I believe God. I got them covered with my own token. And my works show that. Because I'm not trying to get them in here and force them into church and try to get them in here. I'm resting in that. Do you get that point? I'm not trying to make it a bunch of legalism, but your faith, it automatically will show up.
Amen.
Noah believed that it was going to flood. And because he believed that, you know what he did? He put it in action. He says, it would have done him no good to say, I believe it's going to flood, and just sit there and let the wood sit over there. He believed God so much. And this is important. He believed God so much, he built it exactly the way he told him. Because I learned this in Sunday school. See, Sunday school still sticks with me, and I'm 43 years old. Because Brother Copeland went through how that cubit was. For those of you who don't know, a cubit's from here to the end of your hands. And he told Noah how many cubits to build that ark. And Noah said, that's what we got to do, boys. We're going to measure a cubit out, and we're going to put this thing together. And Noah was shown what he really believed. He believed God, though it had never rained from the sky ever before. His faith was so real in him, he says, I got to move.
Amen.
I got to put that thing in action.
Amen.
There was work to be done.
Amen.
God don't just call you to sit idle. Amen. He don't just call us to sit on a church bench and warm it up. He expects you to move, be a living member, moving member body of this body right here.
Amen. Right.
That's right. We'll just save some time. I won't go read 1 Corinthians 12, but it says that every member in here is a member in particular. Man, you have a special function to play.
That's right.
You have a job to do.
Right.
Brother Morris, I'll just say it the way he says it. He always talks about, you're not in here just worming a church bench. You got to move. You should be testifying. You should sing. Clean a church. Come to the bonfire. Help build the shelter. Record the music or record the service.
Right.
Get with it somehow, some way. Because God didn't just call you to sit idle. His word right there, and I can show it to you in many more other places. His word right there said, why are you standing here idle? Get to work. God wants you to bear fruit.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, I was thinking about that this week. You know, Jesus cursed a fig tree. You know why he cursed it? It wasn't bearing fruit. And you know, James, I think you told me one time, he said it was even out of season. But you know what Jesus knew? He said, that wasn't so from the beginning. That tree's supposed to bear fruit. And it ain't bearing fruit. It ain't doing what it's supposed to do. And he cursed the thing. Now, what I like about it, he didn't necessarily say it wasn't a fig tree. Didn't change what type of tree it was. He just cursed it. And that's kind of tied to what Brother Moore said. You can be no earthly good here. You need to bear fruit. You need to work. You need to do your job. And I ain't talking about only the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about doing what God's called you to do. It's really the core of it's tied to your day and its message. That's really what it all revolves around, is your day and its message. I take God with me everywhere I go. You know that's my David's message. That's the Son of Man. And I know that so much because of my David's message. And I believe that so much, Brother Moore. I put that to action in my life every day. Work, lunch, sleep, wherever I am, I'm thinking about this word. See, when this thing becomes real to you, you'll think about this thing quite a bit. It'll just be part of your everyday life. It'll show up. It'll start manifesting. It just will naturally happen because you all of a sudden will have a crave to come to church when you never had a crave because you like what you're hearing. And I don't care how much you tell me you like what you're hearing. If you don't come to hear it a second, third time, you don't like it. But if you love it and you like it, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be right here. It's that simple. That's why your works prove that you have the faith you say you have. But this thing's just a part of you when it comes real. That's why I don't even want the works to seem hard. They're not really hard. My burden is light. My load is light. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. I'll never give you more than you can bear. So you can't tell me it's so hard. It's just by nature. You do this by nature. Does your flesh want to go the opposite way? Sometimes, sure it does. Is that the cost of it? Sure it is. But when this thing hits you just right, you'll preach, pray, die, clean, whatever's needed at a drop of a hat. Because this thing's so part of you, you say, what do you need, Lord? Here am I. Send me. That's how this thing works. God didn't just call us to sit here idle. See, I'm just going to preach it to you because I hear it. I can feel it a little bit. I'm going to preach to you like Brother Moore said it. He says, I got to make it this hard so you don't take it lightly. See, because we're balancing this message. I know we're balancing this message. I know what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is, you devil. But you are called to do a job. God wants you to work. Not be idle. If he called you to preach, preach. If he called you to sing, sing. If it was against your nature, say, but I got God's nature. I'm quiet. No, I'm not. I'm what God wants me to be. Whatever he wants me to be. He wants me to sing, I want to sing. If he wants me to testify and I'm the most quiet person on the face of the earth, I want to be like Abraham. Come on, Isaac. We're going to figure out how to get up here and do this. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. He got me here when I didn't even think about church, when it wasn't even in my life, and my parents didn't even raise me in church, and I had no reason to even be here. He got me here. And the same God that got me here is the same God that will fill my mouth and give me the words to say. And that's how much faith I got in God, and my very actions are going to show it. I'm going to get up here and I'm going to start talking. And I'm here to tell you, every believer in here that's ever started testifying never was as strong the first testimony as they are the tenth. God will provide. And you'll start learning to just trust him and lean unto him. It's you doing the work, yet it's God doing the work. I like that sometimes. I'll go to the other side of the coin. Brother Bram, I remember this quote. He said, stop trying to dress yourself. He said, let God dress you. He said, you just put your arms out and let him put the coat on you. That's what we need to do sometimes. Stop trying to dress yourself. Stop trying to make yourself what you think God wants you to be and try to intellectually figure it out. You can't intellectually figure this thing out. You're not going to study enough to figure it out. You're not going to educate yourself to figure it out. You need to just open your arms and say, Lord, dress me up. Make me what you want me to be. If you want me to testify, I'm going to walk out by faith. And I'm going to do that thing. Because I know he wants something. He's called you to do something. Because the Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, read it sometime. It says, your each member is chosen in particular. And he said, in our natural body, sometimes we think the toes or the uncomely parts are the least useful. He said, but give more honor to those bad boys. Because if you didn't have your toes, we say you wouldn't balance. Well, you got a job to do. If you're part of the human body, every cell in it's got something to do. Every part of that body's got something to do. This fingernail protects me from infections. You know the nose hair we pluck out? It's there sometimes for a reason. It stops you from getting everything in that you don't need to get in. I'm telling you, the stuff that we think is the worst part of the body, it's got a job to do. I want that to be real teaching every one of you. You are called by God's amazing grace. And he said, many are called, but few are chosen. You're chosen, foreknown of God, predestinated, justified, already glorified in his mind. He called you to be part of this body. We all should be saying, what's my job? What part do I need to play? I always said, I can make it as big as you want. We're part of a body. But I can get it so small, I come right down to you. What's your individual job in everyday life? And you know what it all will connect to is back to the Word. Because that's the headship. That's how it all starts. It's just tied to God's Word, his plan. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Let me read you what Brother Branham said here. As Brother Branham said, we have found Jesus always about the Father's business. I love that. And that's the way we should be. We should never be idle in our time. What time we have, we must spend it for to serve the time, redeem it, because it's precious. Every time we get a chance to plug it, put a plug in for Jesus, do it. Every time we get to put a plug in for God, do it. Do something for the church and the betterment of people. Maybe people, that's how we come to know these things, by what somebody else told us. Now, that's not me telling you to carry your Bible to work tomorrow and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You guys know that. Brother Brand's point is Jesus was about the Father's business. And we should be about the Father's business. You know what a real believer really does? They have flesh problems. They have mistakes. You carry with them all your days of your life. But you know what a believer really is doing daily? Is like, what do you want, Lord? Amen. What's your word say about this? You know what I'm doing, even with my home, my kids, trying to raise my kids, you know what I'm trying to figure out? What'd you preach to me? What's your word? What's the Bible say? How's it say I should handle this? I'm sincere about this thing. And I'm not putting in evidence on these things. Everybody's going to be different. But I'm just trying to show you an example. When this thing becomes part of you, Brother Deskins, it's part of you. Amen. And you think about it. You try to move by it. Because it's your life. You have faith in it. You bring your kids to church. You know why? You know what a work is? Bring your kids to church. Amen. You have faith. The Bible said, raise them up the right way, and they won't depart from it when they're little or you're older. Amen. So you know what your action does? Because you believe it. We're going to church. I don't care if you got to wake up a little tired tomorrow. We're going to church. Amen. I don't care if you stayed up a little later on Wednesday night. We're going to church. Amen. God will give you 8 hours. Amen. See, God said that to me. Yeah. If you're going to sleep natural four and you need to feel like eight, ask God to give you eight. Yeah. He made the sun stand still. Yeah. Lord, I need this sleep to feel like 8 hours. Because I got to function and do more work for you tomorrow. Amen. It's easy for him to do that. Say, I'm putting you first. I'm giving you what you want. Jesus said you can't serve two masters at the same time. He said you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon's the world. He said you're going to pick one or the other. And then he goes on and he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what believers do. And they start moving and believing the word. You eat the word, it becomes one with you. And then you just naturally start doing, Brother Moore. You naturally start moving. It's in you. It's your everyday life. And one sense, that's why I start off by telling you, I'm not fearing. I ain't one of them. I know who I am. Now, that's not bold. Well, you can't tell me who I am. No, I just believe I've been born again. I believe this is my life. I believe that this is first place in my life. I want to do what God wants me to do. I haven't just went to church one service and out the next and went once and out three. I'm here. This is it. This is my life. This is what I want. And that's how we all, I could go down these aisles and say that about all of us. But that's faith in action. It's that simple. Amen. Sometimes we can get a little off kilter. Doesn't matter what I do. It does matter what you do. Especially when God's calling for it. That means it matters to you. That means he wants you to do something different. That means he's trying to convict you. We always say, God, don't condemn you. What he does is he convicts you. He's allowed to convict you. He's allowed to give you his word and say, remember this? Remember this over here? This is what I want out of your life. I've called you to do your job. You, Brother Branham, don't smoke, drink, defile your body in any way. Because I have a work, a job for you to do. You need to find out what he's asking you to do.
Amen.
You need to find out what he's asking you not to do. And you know, as a believer, you'll find that out and you'll do those things.
Oh, yeah.
But don't get hurt when so-and-so gets to do something you don't.
Amen.
Just do your job.
Amen.
God might want you to dress a certain way. God might want you with long hair.
Yeah.
God might want you with this or that.
Right.
But you just say, here am I, Lord, send me.
Yes.
The Bible's true whether we do it or not anyhow.
Amen.
The Bible's right. So I want to, before I get to my last scripture, just slow down and make sure I made some sense to y'all. Love without a worker. Because, you know, there's a truth, but there's a balance. I can come here and say, I'm in the eighth day. It's a relaxing time. I'm resting. You don't come by laws, orders, or rituals. And everybody, that's the truth. But if that's all I told you and didn't have any balance over here, it says, but God has called you to do a job. And yield to him and do what he needs you to do in this hour, it wouldn't 100% be balanced. And God is a balanced God. He says, straight is the way, narrow is the way, and few will find it. But it's only the ones that are balanced that can walk this path. And God wants us balanced. Because, you know, you can say, well, I'm in the eighth day, nothing matters. Oh, it matters. You're a capstone people. You're manifesting God with an understanding that nobody's had in all church ages long. If anybody cares about what this message is going to do, it's going to be this age. Because we actually understand what we're here for. So it does matter. We are called to do a job. And it covers the gamut. We're all going to be a little different. But do your job. We're all part of the body. And there is nothing in that Bible that is wrong. And everything in it is fair game for God to come deal with you. Say, I want this. I want this. And then you know what? If he wants it, he's going to figure out a way to get it. He'll provide some help if he has to. You know, we say he'll break a leg, but that's not God forcing you. He's just helping you. As you break your leg, he still lets you say, okay, I'll do it. But my point being is he's called us to do a job. And even in this 11th hour worker, because you could think, well, I'm just 11th hour worker. I ain't got much to do. That hire, you know, he said, why are you sitting idle? Why, you got an hour left. You keep working. You know, at work sometimes, that's how we feel, right? You know, it's depending on the job. And it's Friday and there's only an hour left. When you're a laborer, you try to clean up a little earlier. I understand it. I try not to be too critical of it, I guess. I try to understand that work because we're in a manufacturing site. But the people that are up here and they're hearing about the metrics and all the things you got to meet. Oh, I got to sell this much. I got to be this profitable. I got to have this type of quality. They're not worried about Friday. They come and say, wait a minute, we got another hour. Another hour's 30 parts. Just using that as an example. And you know, people say, well, you're just awful and you're hard. I'm a pretty nice boss. I can give a break here and there, but I also know when to need to be serious. You don't understand what I understand. You don't know what's hanging in the balance. You don't know that the bonus that even you might get is going to be dependent on how we perform. I'm trying to help you just like I'm trying to help me. You don't know the big picture. I try to help show you as much as I can, but just trust me. Well, redeem the time. Well, that's just natural story. We can laugh about that a little bit. But you know what God says? You're the 11th hour worker. You're the 8th day bride. You're the capstone people. But while you're on this side, there's still work to be done. And we know it all revolves around the rapture, but let's just talk about some of the things. We know who we are. We know who the foolish virgins are. What do we say? Every day we go out and we meet people, Brother Moore, that has a chance to manifest the way they're supposed to manifest. And we clock in every day, and they treat God good. We go out, we try to be honest to people. And you know what? We don't do it that often because of the hour, but every once in a while we'll invite somebody in here. And you know what? They stay.
Right.
It'll happen every once in a while. I see Tommy back there. He was Isaiah's invite.
Right.
Isaiah said, come see a man.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with doing that every once in a while.
Amen.
We're still here.
Yeah.
The point being is, even though we're 11th hour worker, don't stand here idle. Works will prove you believe that, is what Brother Moore preached Sunday. And we all have a job to do. In this body, we're part of that body, in this body, at your house, do your job. Don't think it's just time I'll just sit here and let everybody else do the work. Carry your load. Take up your cross. And make the load a little lighter on the rest of us. Amen. I'll carry mine, you carry yours. If all you can carry is a pound, carry it. That's less than I can carry. That helps. Just do your little part. If you're the person that says, I don't know how to build a house, but I can carry the wood over. Carry the wood over. Nothing's too small, nothing's too great, Brother Lockett told you there's no big U's, little eyes. It's just the body of Jesus Christ. But Morse preached that to us so straight and clear. I don't even doubt that. He's not trying to only be the only one up here talking. Everybody's got to hear me only. We know it, pastor's role, but he's trying to say, brothers, get up here. Sisters, get up here. Brothers, you need to be able to get up here. He wants to hear the body move. This is a one great big body. And we need to do our job. And you know what? Because you have faith, it'll happen. Because you have been born again. And by nature, you'll start doing these things. You had the life of Dillinger, we always say. You'd probably have a lot of guns, or be making guns, or designing guns. You have a life of Christ, or a life of God in you. You're going to do things around that. You're going to think about the Word. You know, works is just going home saying, I'm going to read my Bible. He said, read your Bible and pray. You want to get close to God, read your Bible and pray. You know, a person that believes that, you know what they'll do? They'll read their Bible and pray. That's how it works. They'll put it into action. So action means a lot of things.
Yes.
Does it mean long hair? Sure it can. Does it mean long dresses? Absolutely. But it means more than that. It's just hearing the Word of God and doing what God asks you. That's putting your belief in God into action and to move it. And I really don't feel like I have to go read my scripture, but you guys know in Hebrews 11, every one of those names that they talk about talks about faith. But right after he talks about the faith they had, they did something. Let me read you just a couple examples. I don't want to cheat it. Hebrews 11 chapter. You guys can read the rest at home. It's a good chapter to read as you're reading your Bible and praying. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'm just going to jump a few verses. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered. That's an action. Unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was the righteous God, testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save him of his house. And I had one over here, verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, hid 3 months his parents. That's the one, you know, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he come to the years, refused an action to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing an action rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. If you have faith, action will follow. I made a note up here. Action has followed anybody that's had faith in the Bible. You won't find one story in the Bible of somebody that had faith in God that didn't have action behind it. You won't find it. You move because you believe. And God wants us not to stand idle. Works are involved. And do your job. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Moore.
I was writing down his last comment that said, you move because you believe. Amen. To sum up everything he said tonight, of that last little line, you move because you believe. Sometimes we get to a point we feel like, you know, and we're ditch dwellers. That's what people are. They go from one ditch to the other. The 1 minute, you know, they got to go out and save the world. Next minute, the world's doomed, so we don't have to save nobody. And the thing is, there's a balance in all of it. I was sitting there thinking, I says, you know, some people, they don't even think that there's no reason to invite anybody to church because nobody can be saved. That's a ditch. You know, because they were getting on us because we said that redemption's over for the seven church ages. And then they thought, well, if it's over, we don't have anything to do. Just sit at home and wait on the rapture. God ain't never had anybody sitting at home. There's something for us to do, even though we know that redemption is over for the denominational church world. You can still invite people to church. I still have this message going around the world on that internet. Even though it's over and we know it's over, you think, well, it can't help anybody. It can help people. So when you're sitting there and you think, well, I don't need to invite nobody to church and can't nobody be saved, well, that's a ditch. You know, come see a man. Come see what God's doing here. Invite them to church. You know, you look at the Covey brothers. They ain't shy. Any minute they get, they're going to stick a little card in there. Hey, you know, but that's what we should be doing. And I'm not trying to say go out and try to save the world, because you know you're not going to save the world, but you can invite them. You say, well, I come see a man. And people all the time ask me, where you go to church? You know, where you, and I'll let them know. You know, they don't always come, but at least they know it's here. And they, when people don't be ashamed of who you are, because you're the final voice to the final age. If they're going to hear from God, they're going to hear it through you. So don't go in the ditch. Think, well, it's over. We don't have nothing to do. That's what people do. They take this message and they'll say, well, it's over. So then they go sit down somewhere. They don't witness to anybody. They don't testify. They don't try to even explain the hope that lies within them to the people who don't have a clue, because they know you're different. But unless you tell them where you got your bread buttered, well, where'd you get that from? That's what Sister Spears asked me when she met me. You've been eating something, Brother Nate. What you been eating? So they know there's something different about you. So that's your job, is to tell them of the hope that lies within you. Now, is everybody going to accept it? No. Are they going to think you're crazy? Yeah. Are they going to come maybe one time or twice, or if they come at all, and look at us and say, well, these nuts here? Mm-hmm. No. But that's, you know, we don't have to worry about that. You got a job to do. It's funny, because I told Micah when we got out of the car in the parking lot, what did I tell you, Micah? I said, Micah's a 11:45 worker. It is so late in the hour, but he gets the same pay. He gets he may not be here as long as Don has. But you know what? He's going to get the same pay Don gets. Don's going to get the same pay he gets. And we are going to get the same pay, and Tommy's getting it too. I should be mad about that. But that's because the pay is the same. When God called you, he promised you all the same thing, eternal life.
That's right.
And people crack me up because they always want to put lines and levels and they're always, man is just, he's just awful. He always has a line. He always has an order. He always has one better than the other. That ain't the way that works with God. When God comes in the midst, like Brother Lockett said, you don't even know. Everybody's got the same thing. Everybody's the same. You don't have a big hierarchy. One, some church you go in, you could tell who the pastor is because he's got this big old throne chair he's sitting on. And I was always jealous of preachers because when I was growing up, the preachers got orange juice when they preached. They'd bring them a nice cold glass of orange juice. I'm like, man,
That almost make you want to preach because they got it and nobody else in the church got it. So you can always tell the hierarchy. But let me tell you, Jesus was so humbled that when they came to get him, they didn't even know who the Messiah was. He had to be kissed on the cheek and for them to know that they weren't carrying around on their shoulders. They didn't have Jesus up some big chair and said, whoop, whoop, here we go. We got the Messiah. No, he was so humble. When they slept on the ground, he slept on the ground. When they ate fish, he ate fish. When they didn't eat, he didn't eat. He was so humble that they didn't even know who he was. And the hour that we're living in, all we got to do is receive this word. And you don't have to say, oh, I got to know it all. No, just receive what God gives you. Because see, he's going to give it to you. He's the only one who reveals this. If you come here and this makes sense to you, it's because God's dealing with you. That's the only reason. We don't make sense to the world. It's not something that you're going to educate yourself to. Don't come here and try to educate yourself to a revelation. It won't happen. You must be born again. And once you're born again, it's God's job, not mine. It's God's job to reveal his word to you. You just keep coming, and as God wants to show you something, he'll show it to you. Amen. If all God's wanting to show you is that we're all on the same level, and you found that out tonight, then that's all you say. Well, praise God. If you get to go, I get to go too.
That's right.
But we all have a job to do. Don't come in here and say, when they come out of Sunday school, I'm eyeballing them. I know two just came out. I know they just dumped two more in here, and I'm watching them see what they're doing. I'm giving them a chance to get a job. You better find something. That's like when my daddy used to come in the room, and we'd be in there playing, and you know, Mel, we'd be in there playing. Daddy comes walking in the room, you find something to do. You make yourself look like you're doing something. Because everybody should be doing something. We're in the house of God. We got things to do. We got two new people come out of Sunday school. Get busy. Find something. Be a part of this. New people coming in. Tommy, get busy. Find something. You say, well, I don't know a lot. Don't have to know a lot. You know how to greet somebody. You know how to say hi. Start there.
Amen.
Just do your part. Because your part's not my part. I never would have dreamed I was going to be a preacher, pastor, going around the world preaching. That was not in my cards at all. But it was in God's. But because I'm willing, and because I so believe this thing, it automatically did its work in my life. And it's the same way with you. Because you so believe this, you'll manifest this thing with every heartbeat. And you won't have to press and strain. Anytime somebody's straining to try to get something. We had a preacher who used to sit there on the front row, just strain, listen to every testimony, listen to everything everybody says, because he just wanted to make sure that it was right. Blink. Sit back. Relax. God's got it. I don't worry about y'all. If y'all say something wrong, I just correct it. And the thing is, we're so mature now, when we get corrected, we just get corrected.
Amen.
I mean, all of my brothers, all 10 of us understood what a whipping was. So if it wasn't me getting it, my brother, my sister got it, I understand. And now we're so mature as a body, when you do something that says something wrong and is not right, then we correct it and we move on. We don't spend all service on it. We don't spend all week lamenting it and talking about it and rolling back and forth over it. Spank you, get moving, and grow up. Be a man. Take your correction and move on. That's the bride. That's how we're living in now. And that's why we're such a strong group, because you got mature Christians here. Yes, you go through things. Yes, you suffer stuff, but you don't have to suffer all the way through it. You only suffer till you realize, wait a minute, that's a devil.
Amen.
I got a job to do. This devil can't hold me back. He can't keep me from doing what I'm ordained to do. I'm here to help the body. That's what I say. I'm here to help this body. That's all I've ever said. I'm here to help the body. I don't care what you got to do. I'll help you sweep the floor. I'll help you cut the grass. I'll help, whatever. I'll clean toilets. I don't care. You know, if I see it, I just do it. But that's because I believe that what I'm believing and preaching and pushing forward will help the bride around the world. Amen. And if you believe that, then you'll get up and do your job too.
Amen.
Your job ain't my job. You try to do my job, you get corrected. But you do your job. And if you do that, as a body, we'll get out of here together.
Right.
Come on, musicians, do your job. Get up here. Sister Belinda. Yeah. And buried him forever in the deep sea of forget. There's a Newman. If I can find it, I know it, but I want to find it. Page 26, key of G. Amen. Now, don't forget, we got Brother Okeo coming this coming Tuesday. Right, Dwayne? That's this week. Wednesday night service, he'll preach. Then we're going to have Saturday evening service at 7. And then Sunday morning service at 10. Dinner immediately following. And then from there, we'll have Bible study Sunday night. And we need help with anything for the dinner? Need to bring anything, do anything? Okay. Just come with an appetite. But those are things we're going to be doing for the next few days. So, you know, make your plans around God.
Amen.
People say, well, I forgot y'all had service Sunday. How you going to forget? They've been announcing it for a month. It just means it wasn't important enough to you. You say, well, I got to work. Then go to work. I ain't saying cut cork. I'm just saying some of y'all sitting home watching football on Saturday night could be here. Do your job. That's what God's saying today. Do your job. Do your job. Let's do our job because there's a new man living in this house of clay. No music practice tomorrow. Amen. So that means we won't be back till like Sunday morning. Oh, man. Okay. There's a new man living in this house of clay. For the old man died, Jesus took him far away. And buried him forever in the deep sea of forget. Now my Lord owns his house. He's dwelling in my soul. Day by day, he's cleaning house. And I know he's going to stay. It's not that hard. Oh, there's a new man living in this house of clay. For the old man died, Jesus took him on. He buried him and buried him forever in the deep sea of forget. Now my Lord owns this house. He's dwelling in my soul. Day by day, he's cleaning house. Oh, and I know, yes, I know, he's gonna stay. One more time. Oh, there's a new man living in this house of clay. For the old man died, Jesus took him far away, and he buried him forever in the deep sea of forget. Now my Lord owns this house, he's dwelling in my soul. Day by day, he's cleaning house. Oh, and I know he's gonna stay. Okay, you got the words, now you can sing it. There's a new man living in slave for the old man died. My Jesus took him far away, and he buried him forever in the deep sea of forget. Now my Lord owns this house. He is dwelling in my heart day by day. Yes, I know he's gonna stay. Oh, there's a new man. For the old man tonight, Savior took him far away and buried him forever in the deep sea of forget. Now my